Hello again, everyone. This is Bruce Dumont welcoming you to our program, coming to you live and direct from the Allerton Hotel on North Michigan Avenue. It's nice to have you with us today on WXFM Radio. And our special guest today is one of America's most, probably instantly identifiable women, who is in town for a Jesus rally this evening at Erie Crown Theater, the Queen of the Cowgirls, Dale Evans. And let's give a warm Allerton Hotel welcome to Dale Evans.
Thank you, Bruce. Hi. Hi. Thank you very much.
I'd like to talk specifically about the rally tonight, but I want to save that for a little bit later on in the program when the full network is with us. But I would like to talk about how you originally met Roy Rogers, because you together are probably, I mentioned you are the most identifiable, one of the most identifiable women in the world. You are probably one of the most popular couples in the history of American entertainment. How'd you meet Roy?
Well, actually, I met the Sons of the Pioneers before I met Roy. I was on WBBM here, on the staff at Columbia Network, and the Sons of the Pioneers were here, and they were doing a commercial at NBC here. And my agency, who was William Morris at the time, arranged for us to do a radio audition for a commercial show together. And I heard the boys sing for the first time. Of course, I'd never heard any Western singing like that in my life. Being from Texas, I'd heard cowboy music, but never any what I call, well, now they sort of call it Marlboro country music, what I call Western prestige type music. And when these boys sang, it was a new sound and a beautiful sound to me and a true sound of the West. And I heard them sing, and then the man who represented me, William Morris, said, "Oh, but you should hear the boy that just left them." Says his name is Roy Rogers, and he's been signed by Republic Studios, and said he is really going to be a winner. And so I just let it sort of go by, you know, and didn't say any more about it. And then I went on to Hollywood, and I went to 20th Century Fox, and I was there a year, and then I went on the Chase and Sanford Hour. And then I was heard by a producer at Republic that was going to do a musical. It was sort of a country musical called Swing Your Partner, with Lulabell and Scotty from the Chicago area here, from the old WLS barn dance.
Sure.
So they hired me for the ingenue role, and it was also with Vera Vague. Maybe you wouldn't remember her. She used to play opposite Bob Hope all the time, and she was on his radio show. And they took up the option, and I did about 8 pictures the first year, and then Mr. Yates, who was
Did you do a lot of Westerns?
Not with Roy,
and not all Westerns.
No Westerns.
Okay, you were
No Westerns.
You were a long way from being the Queen of the Cowgirls.
No, I did musicals, and I did 3 straight dramatic roles, and then Mr. Yates, who was head of Republic Studios, went to New York and saw Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was the hit show of Broadway at the time, and he decided that he wanted Roy Rogers' pictures to be like Oklahoma. He wanted to build up the production, the musical production end of Roy's pictures. He already sang in his pictures, but he wanted, you know, big stage productions and a strong Western story with it. So he looked around the lot, and he decided that since I was from Texas and I was under contract and that I had some radio following, that he would put me in opposite Roy to see what would happen. And I did a picture with him called... We had the same agent, same personal manager, though I had not really met Roy except briefly at a camp show at Camp Edwards Air Base near Palmdale, California. And so they gave me a black wig, and I was Isabel Martinez. I played a Mexican girl. And then, and the producer said I sounded like CCU All.
Yeah, right.
But,
yeah.
But the exhibitors did like the combination, and that's the way I met Roy, really. I just started working his pictures. And I never really wanted to do Westerns. It's curious. I wanted to go to Broadway and do a musical.
Because you were from Texas, and you had seen enough of horses, right?
Well, you wanted to get in the big city? Not really. I only lived in Texas until I was 7, and then my family moved to Arkansas. And then we
How did you get to Chicago now?
Well, I came to Chicago the first time to try to break into radio, and that's way back there in the 30s. And, of course, it was just the Depression had hit, you know, and we were in kind of bad financial. I mean, Chicago was having it rough, just like the rest of the country. And I tried very hard, and I used to sing for nothing on radio stations and audition, but nothing happened for me at all. And then I had to go to work as a secretary, which was my trade. And I worked on LaSalle Street for a time, and then I went out to for a brokerage firm. And then I went out to Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company as a secretary, or just a stenographer and file clerk, because you did what you could do then in order to eat, really.
So Chicago really is a very nostalgic town for you.
Yes, it is. I have had really two stints of living in Chicago twice, and I love Chicago. It's like home to me.
Dale, we have to pause here for a moment, and then we'll continue.
Look to the builders of happiness. Look to tomorrow today. Look to the folks at Skokie Federal. Building happiness in a saving way. Look to the builders of happiness. Look to tomorrow today.
Skokie Federal builds happiness faster with day-in, day-out interest on all passbook savings. Top interest, 5.25% yearly, compounded daily, from the day deposited to the day withdrawn. You never lose interest saving with Skokie Federal. 4747 Dempster and Lincoln at Oakton.
Look to the builders of happiness. Look to Skokie Federal today.
When everything in life seems to be getting more and more difficult, it's nice to know there's one way to make your life easier. Choose one insurance agent to take care of all your insurance needs. Then, when you have a question or a problem involving your insurance, you will know who can handle it for you and you won't have to worry. I'm Mary Lawton to let you know that High on Hile wants to be your one insurance agent. We represent INA, Aetna, USF&G, and many other major companies specializing in insurance for your car, home or apartment, jewelry and furs, your life, and even your airplane. Let us coordinate your various insurance policies by looking at your insurance needs as a whole to be sure that you have the right kinds of insurance protection in the right amounts with no duplications or gaps in coverage. Add to that our pledge of outstanding personal service, and you'll know why it's important to have just one insurance agent. Make your life easier. Call Hile & Hile today, 866-7400. Hile & Hile Insurance, 866-7400.
Bruce Dumont back at the Allerton Hotel with our special guest today, Dale Evans. And we were talking about how Dale and Roy Rogers got together in Hollywood a number of years ago. What is the success story that you and Roy have? Because you live in a community, I don't know whether the divorce rate is any higher or lower in Los Angeles and the Hollywood area, but certainly is more publicized. What is your success formula?
In one word, the Lord. I must say that because I would be, I wouldn't be honestly, I wouldn't be honest and truthful with you. Two things. First of all, it's a sharing, a common faith, religious faith. We happen to be Christians. But this happened shortly after our marriage, that we had a very deep religious experience with God through Christ. Then we were fortunate enough to work together and to do fairs together and rodeos together and our television series together for 5 years. And that, I think, that the combination of the two things helped a great deal. But paramount is the faith part of it, a faith and a power beyond ourselves to help us solve our problems and to center down on faith in God through Christ instead of just ourselves, of worshiping each other or ourselves. Because when you have a goal beyond yourself, you can understand that you love the other person for that goal and a common goal.
Did you have a religious bringing up? And did Roy have a religious bringing
up? Yes, I did. And Roy had some religious training. But my mother was quite religious and still is. She's still alive and lives with me. She's 86 years old. She lives with me out in Apple Valley, California. And Roy lived in Ohio. And his mother was crippled and unable to go to church much. She had had polio when she was a child. And they were of meager means, and Roy, they had a farm, and he had to work. And Roy really never had a chance to have too much exposure because they didn't have regular worship service, you know, once in a while. They would have a traveling evangelist come through.
Do you find that living in Hollywood, which is a very secular community, Do you find it difficult socializing with other people that perhaps do not feel as strongly about Jesus Christ as you do?
Well, in the first place, I've never really been a Hollywood person, nor has Roy. Roy likes a home, and he likes children. He likes to hunt and fish. He loves horses. He raises thoroughbred horses. He's an expert bowler, an expert marksman. He's an outdoors man. And I just never have cared a great deal about the nightclub circuit out there, because I just think that you get an awful lot of trouble. You know, that's where a lot of the trouble starts, mm-hmm. in homes. And most of the people that we knew were people that we had worked with in the business, not particularly producers or directors, but, you know, grips and light men and maybe a writer or two and people like that. And people that were divorced from movie business. And therefore, I think that was also a plus factor for us, to help us keep our feet on the ground. And I always wanted a big family, and Roy wanted a big family too. And we have lived with our family, and we have enjoyed it, and we have had a certain amount of social life. We've gone to premieres and country club things and things like that. He's a good golfer.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never really been real social butterflies. You know what I mean?
Right. Are there other people in the Hollywood scene that are like that?
I mean, oh, yes.
Pat Boone is a name that comes to mind.
Well, now, years ago, in 1950, a very startling and wonderful thing occurred in Hollywood. Here and there, just in sporadic movements, people started to stand up and want to declare their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm speaking of entertainers and people within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
A movement, it's as if the Holy Spirit started this movement and just his finger here on people, you know. And so we got together, about eight of us. I remember there was Colleen Townsend, who was a starlet at 20th Century Fox with a very promising career. Jane Russell in those days. Connie Haynes, the singer. A fellow named Porter Hall, who was an excellent character actor. The late Jimmy Dodd, who used to be the Mouseketeer. Tim Spencer, who was head of the Sons of the Pioneers by this time. Oh, many people that were character actors. We all sort of banded together and started a group called the Hollywood Christian Group. And it was a house prayer meeting type thing with different people to witness to us and talk to us of their faith. Sometimes it would be an athlete. Sometimes it would be a physician, a surgeon. Sometimes it would be an actor. And sometimes a minister from the different churches. And it became a very strong movement in Hollywood. And it really started to make some spiritual inroads. And then it got so large that we had to split off and sort of splinter groups and meet maybe some in Beverly Hills, some in Westwood, some out in the San Fernando Valley, because one house couldn't hold all the people.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did that, it was so diluted. It started to be sort of diluted. And then we tried a hotel. But it lost some of the warmth and the privacy of a home where people felt they could get up and speak their mind and, you know, say what was on their hearts, what they believed, and they if they were questing for truth or they wanted to know the Lord, they would ask personal questions and it would be answered for them there.
And that communication was always there.
And many who had sort of hidden in their faith started to come to the front.
Came out of the closet.
That's
they
right.
They were no longer closet Christians in Hollywood.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
We have to pause here for a moment. Our guest is Dale Evans, the Queen of the Cowgirls, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Guy Lombardo. You know, summertime is the perfect time for Lansley's Cashew Nut and Rice Crunch. It has a rich, unusual flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Yet it's light enough so you don't feel stuffed. Fill your summer with fun and flavor and lots of tasty Lansley's.
Lansley Candy, the candy of the stars, is a great summertime treat by itself or with ice cream. Lansley Candy is available at all Dominick stores. For the past several months, you've heard me talking about the Senior Citizens Public Service Employees Association and their sponsorship of Social Saturday. We've told you a great deal about the bargain prices each Saturday, but one thing we have not emphasized is the fact that the Senior Citizens Social Saturday gathering is open to persons of all ages, because sooner or later we'll all be seniors, and the sooner we learn of their unique problems, the sooner we'll be able to unite and improve things. Senior citizens are an overlooked resource in this nation, and it's time we start utilizing their talents. We can do so by supporting the activities of the Senior Citizen Public Service Employees Association. Social Saturday gatherings begin each Saturday at noon at 6800 Northwestern in Chicago. All food prices are reduced to a nickel, and that includes coffee, donuts, ice cream, and pretzels. And remember, that's for everyone, regardless of age. So join us this Saturday at Social Saturday. Seniors caring for seniors. Hello again, everyone. I'm Bruce Dumont, and if you've just joined us from along the Montage Radio Network line, it's nice to have you with us. We're coming to you from the Allerton Hotel on North Michigan Avenue, and our special guest today is one of the most popular and most recognizable women in all the world, Queen of the Cowgirls, Dale Evans, and we continue now our discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Dale, what about the responsibility of Hollywood? Do you feel that they have let the country down and each individual down by the way that they have... By the movies they have made over the years, specifically in the last 10 to 15 years?
Yes, indeed I do. I think they've been quite irresponsible to the needs, the true needs of the nation. Because of the crime increase, because of the suicide rate among teenagers, because of the general apathy toward true values in our people, I think that they have reached... Excuse me for saying it in this way, for the buck, and forgetting any responsibility they have as a media, not only to entertain, but to help people.
Now, does part of the problem get back to the fact that that to go into movies, you obviously have to make money, you need money,
yes.
You have to raise the money.
I understand that, yes.
So the irresponsibility does not necessarily come from specifically the filmmakers, but it...
No.
The buck can really stop at the guy who gives the buck out.
Well, I'm just going to say, this is a two-way street. The producers and the directors and the audiences. Now, if these people didn't line up in droves to see a picture like The Exorcist, they would quit making them. If they couldn't recoup their money, they would quit making these films. I believe, this is the way I feel. After all, it is a business.
All right, why do people line up to see The Exorcist? Why do you think they do?
Well, I think that, by and large, our people have forgotten God. And, you know, it's the Bible says that there's a light that lights every person that comes into the world, that God has put that light within us. And we're constantly searching for something that satisfies us. And we reach here and we reach there for it. We reach for the occult. We reach for the mysterious. We
for
reach
drugs.
For drugs. Anything that will take us out of the monotony and the dreary, humdrum lives that some people have. But they have to have something beyond themselves that they don't... Because that's right in the... warp and woof of our being. It's just put there. We're constructed that way. We're created that way. And therefore, I mean, St. Augustine said, you know, the heart is made for thee, O God, and is restless until it finds its rest in thee. And this is true. So they go for things like this to try to find an outlet for that stirs them. And of course, I mean, the source of contentment and the true source of fulfillment is in our Creator.
When did you really discover that God was with you and in your heart and that you were born again, I think is the proper term?
Yes, yes. Well, when I was 10 years old, I came from a Christian family, and when I was 10 years old, there was a revival in our little town in Arkansas. And in those days, preachers didn't preach. I mean, they preached mostly in a revival about the wrath of God on sinners. And the judgment of God. And there was not too much preaching about the mercy and the love I mean, there was a little of that at the finish, that was the alternative in Jesus Christ. And I was frankly frightened. I'm going to be very honest with you. I was frightened, and not that I didn't believe that he was the Messiah. I believed that he was the Savior, and I believed that he loved us, and I believed that he gave himself for us. But I plain wanted to be saved so that when I died, I would go to heaven in a way, the way a child thinks. I was 10 years old.
So it was out of fear.
It was mostly out of fear. And I accepted him as Savior, sort of like you take out an insurance policy, you know, and for when I died. But I didn't make
it. Do you think that's true for most people, their first religious experience?
I think it's true for an alarming amount of people that I've talked to, a number of people.
Well,
they say they've had the same experience, and when they get older, but you see, here's the one.
Well, they become, on the other end of the age scale, there are a lot of people that become deathbed Christians, too.
That's right. That is right. But as people, I just thank the Lord that I didn't wait for that, because I came to him in complete dedication of my life at age 35, and I had quite a bit of mileage left, and I'm very glad. Well, it's the truth. I'm glad that I didn't wait till I was all broken down to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked him to use my life, and he did. But you see, once I think that we have made a sincere step toward God, wanting to know him, I plain think he never lets go of us. I think he keeps prodding in different ways until we finally say, hey, I need you. And this happened to me when I was 35. Because I ran from him for 25 years because I wanted to do my thing.
Now, the success that you and Roy have had has been marred by some tragedy in your life, a great deal of tragedy.
Yes.
You probably have had more tragedy in your life than most people have in three or four lifetimes. You've lost three children.
Yes.
And you've also lost your first husband.
Yes.
Can you relate the feelings that went through your mind during those periods, and where did God and a faith in God come into being, and or how did that involve itself in the communication process with the deity?
Well, in the first place, when God spoke to me through my son shortly after my marriage to Roy Rogers, and my son asked me to give my life to Christ and to let go and let God really have my life and to work through me and to quit struggling and trying to throw myself against his commandments and do my thing. I asked the Lord to forgive my commission of sin and omission of the things I should have done for him and hadn't in the past. Then I asked him if it was necessary to break my life to use it, to be about it, because I wanted him to use my life and make it count for him. I was really up to here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that the Lord took me at my word, because then we had the baby that was mentally retarded, our little Robin. And she was born about 2 years after I had had this experience with God. And I realized, I mean, I didn't contest God about our little child, because I realized that I would miss the blessing if I did. And I realized that I had asked him to break my life if necessary. And I knew that I had to trust him. And I did. And because I trusted him, as the Bible says, my heart was helped. And we were allowed to keep our child for 2 years. And everybody said put her in an institution. And in those days, nobody admitted that they had a child that was retarded.
How many times during that period would you wake up nights and either say to yourself or through prayer, why me? Why do I have a retarded child? I'm with you.
I never said that, because there was much in my life in the past that had been morally wrong according to God's commandments.
Did you have guilt? Were there guilt feelings?
Yes. I had a load of guilt right to here, and I've never denied it. In any of my books, I've always made it very plain. And I knew better than to complain about God's dealing with me, however, allowing these things. I don't say God caused this child to be born, but he allowed it. And then the same thing happened when our little Korean girl was killed on the bus and our boy died in Germany. But God did a wonderful thing for me. He allowed me to see each one of those children except the baby, who, as far as I'm concerned, was spiritually safe anyway. But he allowed me to see all of our children except Christ. That's the one thing I asked him in return when I gave him my life. Just let me see that my children were spiritually safe. And so I didn't get bitter in my heart toward God. And because I didn't, I wanted to learn what he wanted me to learn from these experiences. Not that they didn't hurt, because they did, brutally. But the Holy Spirit came in at these times of testing and strengthened me and helped me to trust him for the right outcome. And I saw blessing come from these tragedies. And my life was enriched. We never grow by our successes. We grow by our failures. And a thing was said to me this morning on a talk show on television. A fellow said, plants, I loved it. He said, plants and animals only grow in the dark. And that really struck me forcibly, because that's where my growth has been. In the anguish of the dark hours of tragedy. That's where I've grown spiritually, and that's where I've grown in understanding and compassion of other people. And it's helped me, and I have no quarrel with God whatever.
Dale, we have to pause here for a moment, and then we will continue from the Alex Notel with our special guest today, Dale Evans. And let me mention that our telephone number is 591-1246. 591-1246 if you have a question or comment to pose to Dale Evans. We'll be back in a moment.
If you need shoes, you go to a shoe store. If you need hardware, you go to a hardware store. But what if you need insurance? Where do you go? Now you can do all your insurance shopping the new, easy way in just one place. It's called the Insurance Store, Heil & Heil Insurance Agency. At the Insurance Store, you'll find every kind of insurance you need, including home, auto, marine, aviation, health, life, and business insurance. At the Insurance Store, you'll find a choice of leading brands like Aetna, INA, Continental, USF&G, Kemper, and Travelers. And you'll find trained professionals eager to help you buy just the insurance you need. Shopping for insurance? Looking for an interested insurance representative? Shop the new easy way at the Insurance Store. Call Heil & Heil today, 866-7400. Find out how easy buying insurance can be. 866-7400.
5 cents for coffee, donuts, ice cream. Sounds ridiculous and impossible in this day and age, doesn't it? Well, to those of you who have visited the Social Saturday gatherings each Saturday at 6800 Northwestern, you know that the impossible prices of the past have returned, and what a pleasant surprise that is. The prices are part of the Social Saturday philosophy of making life easier for our senior citizens. The effort is sponsored by the Senior Citizens Public Service Employees Association. They're a group of retired Americans who have joined together to promote understanding of the senior citizen. And their group believes that people of all ages must join in this communicative process. And that's why their doors are open to everyone, regardless of age. This Saturday, see for yourself. Make plans to stop by and return to those low-priced days of yesteryear. The doors open at noon. Social Saturday, 6800 Northwestern in Chicago. Seniors caring for seniors.
Happiness. Look to tomorrow today. Look to the folks at Skokie Federal. Building happiness in a saving way. Look to the builders of happiness. Look to tomorrow.
Few families can predict cash needs more than a year ahead. That's why Skokie Federal's one-year 6.5% certificate is a best bet. Pay substantially more than passbook savings, yet just a one-year term, and only $1,000 minimum. Skokie Federal Savings, two offices to serve you.
Look to the builders of happiness. Look to Skokie Federal.
The Queen of the Cowgirls, Dale Evans, is our guest today. She is in town for a Jesus rally this evening at Erie Crown Theater. And before we go too much further, let's talk specifically about the Jesus rally. What happens at a Jesus rally?
Well, first of all, The Jesus rallies that I attended, they have some real fine gospel music, some singing, groups, and they have some witnessing, other, you know, young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have prayer, and they preach the gospel. They have a person that comes, our personality, a person that's known in some other field that has had this experience with Christ, or an experience of the Holy Spirit. And these people talk frankly and honestly to the young people there and to the old people there and the cross-section of the people that are at a Jesus rally, because usually it is very much a cross-section of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they extend an invitation to those who wish to accept Christ, who wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who wish to really know Him and the abundant life that He brings. And that has been my experience with the Jesus rally.
A couple of years ago, during the height of media coverage of the drug culture in this country,
uh-huh.
there was another culture that came around called the Jesus Freaks.
Yes, I remember.
And physically, they looked a lot like the those who were involved in hard drugs.
Yes.
But they were tuned in to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As you look back on that period, and as you maybe you know of some people who were involved then and know them now, were they tuned in just for a short period of time? Was that built up by the media, or was there something really there? And were young people at that particular time who looked as they did, were they really tuned into Jesus Christ, or were they just doing it as a lark?
Well, now at Hollywood and Vine in Los Angeles, I have seen those young people handing out tracts and openly preaching on the street, being ridiculed, and people saying all manner of things to them. Some would stop and talk with them. That's not an easy thing to do, you know. You've got to be turned on to do a thing like that. You have to really believe what you're saying, because it's not particularly the popular thing to do. And not everyone accepts what you have to say. Now, it's true, I think, that some of the young people were just casting about for a new kick or a new high. And some of them fell by the wayside. But some of them really got turned on, and they came into the churches. And they brought a real fresh breath of air into the churches with their commitment and their personal commitment and their personal relationship with the Lord of life. And, I mean, I have met some of these young people, you know, when I've traveled and witnessed in different churches. And many have come into the conventional church, or the, I shouldn't say conventional, the traditional churches. And they have been a real leavening influence there. When I say leavening, I mean a new spice, you know, and a new emphasis on knowing Christ personally, where the people will accept it in those churches.
They also have... It's a lot easier for them to communicate with people of their own age.
Yes, it is.
And a lot can be said for packaging, because if you have long hair, it's a lot easier to talk with someone who has long hair than if you're cleanly scrubbed from Bob Jones University with a crew cut.
But you know, I mean, after all, long hair used to be very popular years ago in this country, and even beards used to be popular. I mean, we forget that. And anyway, the Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. It's not the beard that counts, it's the heart.
Would you say that if you were to pick a segment of our society, looking at the people who really need God, I'm sure you would agree that everyone needs God or needs a divinity. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the audience that would disagree with that, but you happen to believe that. Is there any age group that needs God more than others? Is there any period in your life or in other people's lives where God is more important?
Well, I think that's important at any stage in life. My mother believed in the Proverbs where it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. She believed in training up a child as soon as he could understand anything about God, that God loved that child, and that he sent his son, and his son lived and healed and blessed and died and rose again for him. And that if he believed in his son, I learned that. One of the first things I learned when I could understand anything Now, I departed from that, but I think that the teenage years and the 20s, I think that young people in those years, I think they desperately need God, and I think
that's where their life is charted.
Well, in those years, that's where from my own experience, I remember, you're grasping for a foothold in life and for your niche and where you should go. Now, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. For the young person, that doesn't necessarily mean your fleshly desires are materialistic desires. But if you try to learn, to know the Lord in a personal way, and you love him, and you tell him you love him, he will give you the right desires, and he will guide you into your niche. And he has a plan for your life. I believe this, because the Bible says that through Christ was everything created that was created, through him, for him, and by him, and that by him all things consist. Therefore, he knows the blueprint for each life. And not one of us is exactly the same. Not one of us is created in the same way. Not one of us has the same gifts assembled in just the same way or the same way of expressing it. But he, when it's channeled for him to use, he can take all the gifts that you have or I have or any young person and develop them to the truest and fullest potential. That's why I think it's so imperative that young people be trained up and the seed is planted very early and nurtured along the way. That's why I was excited when the Jesus people came into being.
Do you find that one of the things that turns a lot of people off, specifically the young people, and that's hypocrisy?
Yes.
And they have pointed to the church, and they have said that the church in general, whether it be the Protestant churches, Lutheran, whatever denomination of Protestantism,
Catholic,
or the Catholic
yes.
Church, or Judaism, whatever.
Yes.
That they're too concerned about the materialistic things. They're more concerned about raising money for the building fund than they're concerned about helping people who may have a particular problem or really getting down to it. Now, this is a criticism across the board for all religions.
I know that. I'm aware of that. Do you know when
how do you break that down, that barrier down?
Well, in the traditional sense, when you go back into the Old Testament, you will see that most of the money went for the temple. It went for the temple and beautifying God's house. And there was no question about it because it was simply law. But then, of course, in the New Testament, there came grace and love for your fellow man. And serving God and your fellow man, serving your fellow man because of love for God. And I do think that a lot of times we get very zealous in building new churches instead of trying to fill the ones we have. And we have tremendous building funds, and the church gets so concerned and so upset when they're not meeting the budget.
They become business-oriented.
Well, not necessarily, but the young people, the person that's starting out looking for an answer to his life emotionally gets turned off. And as far as the hypocrisy part is concerned, young people, do you remember the first time that you were shocked when you found out that your parents weren't perfect?
Right.
Well, I do too, and it's a traumatic thing for a child. But we're all human, and all of us now, in one way or another, are hypocrites at some time in our lives. In other words, we might aspire to be a certain way, but because we're human and frail, we stumble and we fall. Now, that is not to say that we don't believe in what we say. That's because we can't perform right up here. And that's why we have a Savior. But if a young person doesn't know, when a young person gets turned on to the Lord, there's not any generation gap there. Then he begins to understand his parents are human.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're trying just like he is.
I want to talk a little bit about degrees to which people are turned on to the Lord, and we'll do that when we continue with our special guest today, Dale Evans. The phone number, 591-1246. Right now, I'd like to talk about Dominic's. If you are shopping in the next couple of days, and I'm sure you're going to get ready for the coming weekend, don't forget to stop at Dominic's and take advantage of their total savings policy.
It's exciting being rediscovered when you've been around as long as I have. Lansley's Cashew Nut and Rice Crunch has been around a long time, too. We discovered Lansley's last year, and we've been hooked on its unusual flavor ever since. If you like long-term relationships, try Guy Lombardo and Lansley's Candy. We're dynamite.
Lansley Candy, a great summertime treat, is available in the candy department at Marshall Field & Company. Secondino's Beauty Salon at 67 East Oak welcomes you in from the ordinary, with individualized haircuts to free you and your hair. With Uniperm, the relaxed way towards permanent wave or curl. And with colors, shades, frosts, streaks, and highlights for a fashionable flattering you. We welcome you at Secondino's. 944-7026. Bruce Dumont back at the Allerton with our guest, Dale Evans, who is in town for a Jesus rally this evening at Airy Crown. It starts at 7:30. And do you pay to get in, or is there an offering taken?
No, I don't think there's any
chance. Airy Crown's going to be open at 7:30, and there will be a rally, and everyone is invited. Mm-hmm. Would like to come attend. Mm-hmm. Does Roy periodically go out on the Jesus rallies?
No. Roy, you know, Roy says you can always tell a Texan, but not much. So he's Roy is not an extrovert. Roy is an introvert by nature, and he finds it a little harder to be articulate about his faith. But he is a believer, and he's a regular church goer and contributor, and he believes in this country. But he had a rather sad experience when he first came to Christ years ago, because a man with one of the religious conventions ripped his testimony to shreds in a magazine, and it was picked up by the Variety and the Reporter in Hollywood, and it went all over the world. And it really was intimidating to Roy and humiliating to him. And he felt that he couldn't give his testimony again after that. And so he didn't quit going to church, but, I mean, it sort of did something as far as his standing up and being counted in a rally. And he didn't really give a real testimony with any length until about 5 years ago in Oakland, I believe it was, California, when Billy Graham was there. He's very fond of Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And my son and his family and Roy and I were on the program. And Roy gave a real testimony.
You mentioned Billy Graham. Billy Graham has taken a lot of heat in the last couple of years. They say he's too commercial. He's trying to merchandise Jesus Christ, and he shouldn't appear on the Johnny Carson show, and he shouldn't have golf with Spiro Agnew and Richard Nixon and people of that nature.
Well, they criticized our Lord the same way, because he went into places that the hierarchy of that day considered to be very unsavory. He not consorted, but he had mercy on people who were in trouble, people who were sinners. That's why he came, because people were sick, spiritually sick and physically sick. And that's why he came, to lift and to help. And I mean, we haven't changed from Jesus' day about mm-hmm. people being judgmental about other Christians or where they go and what they do. Billy was criticized in London when he went into a pub and to talk with the people and see what the pulse of the people was. And the point is, you know, never said it was going to be easy, you know, to follow him. He didn't say that. What he said was, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then he and us can overcome these things also. It isn't easy to follow him. And Billy has to go where the Lord tells him to go, regardless mm-hmm. of what anybody says.
This criticism gets into the degrees of Christianity.
Yes.
and the degrees of a devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, there are fanatics in all fields. There are fanatics in politics. There are fanatics in religion. Do the fanatics in religion, do you find that they make your job more difficult?
No. Well, in a sense, sometimes it's irritating because I get letters from people. Nobody's going to be agreed with all the time. I don't care who you are. If they didn't agree with our Lord, they're not going to agree with you and me.
Right. Because I'm saying, right, you know, there are people that perhaps are listening to this program now who deeply believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And they like a lot of the things that you're saying, but they will probably be saying to themselves, yes, but she's from Hollywood, and she's
of
made
course.
Up, and she has of her
course.
Hair done, and she's
of
lovely,
course.
And she's in a restaurant where they're serving, you know, alcohol at a bar,
yes.
And she shouldn't be there. She shouldn't be there on the radio talking to Bruce Dumont.
That's really true. What you're saying is true. But you can't listen to that. You can't listen to that because they don't understand. And in the first place, they are not you. And what God calls you to do, you have to do. And you must not look to the right or the left unless your own deportment as a Christian is going to be a dark reflection on him. Now, this is the way I personally feel about it. Because Roy and I started paying tribute to God and our country years ago. And we were roundly criticized. At Madison Square Garden, we took a stand there one night. They were told us we couldn't do something in our show where we threw a cross. This is when we had just lost our little baby, Robin Elizabeth, the little mentally retarded child. And we asked the light men, Roy sang Peace in the Valley, because a lot of people, that was very popular. Red Foley's record was very popular at the time. And so when Roy was singing it, we asked them to darken the house. Oh, everybody, audience and everything, and even where we were, and to take those shafts of light, those arcs, and cast them so that they made a cross on that black dirt, rodeo dirt, in Madison Square Garden. And when he sang the part about the lion will lie down with a lamb and a child shall lead them. And as a matter of fact, when we did it, we had to rehearse it so we could rehearse the men with the lights and the song. And the people that were ahead of the garden came to us after. They said, we're sorry, you have to take that out. They said, we can't have that in Madison Square Garden. They said, we serve everybody. We save everybody. And everybody doesn't, or is not going to like that. And we said, well, look, we don't tell anybody else, you know, that how they believe. This is our hope. And this, we're going to have that, and if we don't have it, then we're leaving and going back to Hollywood. Forget it. And, of course, you know, those stands like that do cost you know. But they left it in. And so it just so happened that this was on a Friday night, and it was Columbus Day. And we had several Catholic schools from Long Island that came to the rodeo. As a matter of fact, those kids filled that whole balcony at Madison Square Garden. And when Roy hit that part about the lion will lie down with the lamb, and they darkened the house quickly, and the cross in the shaft of light hit the floor, those kids just raised the roof. They screamed, and they applauded, and they stomped their feet. And, of course, you know, nothing succeeds like success. And so the management let us leave it in. But we did it in the days when we were criticized. They said we did it for commercial purposes. They said we did it, you know, to just to be different. But Paul says no matter how Christ is be preached, let him be preached.
It's always interesting that the ones that always say that you do things for commercialization,
yes,
they probably got paid to write exactly what they wrote. And they were writing for commercial purposes, too.
Yeah.
What about when we talk about the success aspect that you've had, you mentioned that you have to pay for your success at times, and it isn't difficult. Getting back to Hollywood now, the secular nature of Hollywood, has your career as an actress suffered because you are so outspoken as you are in the area of religion?
Yes, I feel that's true. I feel that both Roy and I have been, if you want to call it that way, penalized by the industry because of our stand, and particularly our pro-American stand and our forthright tribute to the flag wherever we've gone, even in these days when our country is definitely in the throes of many things that are agonizing and heartbreaking and hard. We have stood And, I mean, we have, you know, we've been booed at times, particularly, you know, and sometimes during Watergate and things like that, people say, you know, how can you do that at a time like this? I said, well, this isn't the first time this nation's been in trouble.
Where were you booed? Was it on a college campus or...
Oh, you can't. There are many times you'll hear them there. It's rather subdued. There'll be a faction out there that, you know, and they're not. They won't let you know exactly where it comes from, but you can hear an undercurrent of it, you know. And but that's all right. We have to stand as Americans now. We have to stand. And you know, if there's anything wrong with America, it's wrong with you and me, because we're America.
That's right.
We are America.
And if we're going to solve the problem, we're the only ones that can solve it.
It starts with you and me.
I say that all the time.
That's right.
It starts by getting registered and voting, and that's one thing that really turns me off when people don't vote. We have to pause here for a moment, and then we'll come back. We have a telephone caller, and we'll get to that after these messages. A word now to those in our audience concerned about their health, and that should be everyone. You're not alone. The folks at the Dyett House in Highland Park in Evanston are also concerned about your health. Menu planning experts are there to assist you in selecting the proper foods for your diet and good health. So why not stop in at either location and start living a better life? The Dyett House, 1029 Davis Street in Evanston, or 1826 Second Avenue in Highland Park. We'll return to today's program in just a moment, but right now I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us here at the Allerton Hotel. The next time your travels bring you down to Michigan Avenue, make sure those plans include a stop at the butcher shop inside the Allerton Hotel. Whether it's joining us for a montage luncheon, a dinner out with a loved one, or an after-theater snack, remember the butcher shop. We promise you it'll be a memorable experience. The butcher shop at the Allerton, Michigan and Huron on the Magnificent Mile. Bruce Dumont back on the air from the Allerton Hotel with Dale Evans, and we have a caller on the line. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I just like to say that I'm a Christian. I've been born again. And I'm just really happy to hear radio time like this given to the Lord. I just makes me so excited to sit here and listen to Dale Evans say so many things about the Lord. And so many of the things he said are the way I feel exactly, too. And you were saying something about Christians thinking, oh, isn't it terrible that restaurant where they might be serving booze, something like that. And, of course, you know, there's going to be legalistic Christians that would like, you know, this is, but like Bill was saying, you know, we've got to go where the Lord leads us, and if we don't go to places everywhere and anywhere like the Lord did, how are people going to be reached? So I just like to say thank you for this time on the air. I've really appreciated it. I'd also like to say thank you for mentioning that Jesus rally, because we didn't know about it. The Bible study planned this evening, so I think we'll head out to Erie Crown instead. I think we can get more out of it.
Okay.
Thank you very much
for your call. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. Phone number is 591-1246. 591-1246. Our guest today is Dale Evans. A couple of questions that I would like to ask before go too much further. What's become of Pat Brady?
Well, poor Pat had a very bad accident about 5 years ago. He was living in Colorado Springs. And he worked for car company, a truck company. He was a PR man for them. And he turned over a pickup truck. And he was pinned beneath, and they thought he was all right. They took him to the hospital. And they x-rayed him. They said no bones were broken, and they thought he would be all right in the morning. But when they went in the room in the morning, he was dead, apparently from a heart attack or shock.
That was, how many years ago was that?
About 5 years ago.
I didn't realize that he had passed away.
Yes.
What about the other people that are associated with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? Not people, but other well-known people, Buttermilk and Trigger.
Well, Trigger.
Have they passed away also?
Not Buttermilk, but Trigger did. It's been about, he's been gone about 6 years, Trigger has. And Roy had him mounted, and he's in our personal museum in Apple Valley. Buttermilk is still alive, and he's 32 this summer, which is very, very old, almost as old as I am. I always say, I'm really not old, I'm just contemporary.
And Bullet. What about Bullet?
And Bullet is also in the museum. And I told Roy, I said, don't get any ideas about me.
But But Buttermilk, you say, is 32.
He's 32, you know, that and is what, at our horse ranch.
You know, whenever a game of trivia is played, you know, one of the first questions asked is, who is Dale Evans' horse?
I know. Buttercup and, you know, they Milkweed. I mean, they have all kinds of wild names, you know. Our secretary has had calls. She had a call not too long ago from Florida. And some fella said, is this Roy Rogers Museum? And she said, yes. And he said, I want to know the name of Dale Evans' horse. And Miss Sennard said, Buttermilk. He says, thank you. I just won $100.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest has been Dale Evans, and then she is in town for a Jesus rally tonight at 7:30 at Erie Crown. And for those people along the network line who must leave us now, we will see you Monday. And again, we will be exclusively on WXFM. We have a new time starting on Monday, so mark it down. 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday, exclusively on WXFM Stereo 106. And for those people that listen to us on WXFM, well, we'll just be on a couple of hours later. And for those who listen on the other network stations, mark that time in the station down. 2 o'clock, WXFM, Monday. And for those along the network who are going to stick with us for the next half hour, don't go away. Bruce Dumont back at the Allerton Hotel, and in addition to Dale Evans, we are now joined by Penelope Ash, and Penelope Ash is a name used by a group of people who have written a very successful book called Naked Came the Stranger. And Penelope, welcome to the program. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Bruce.
Joining our discussion, and during the break we found out that you are, like millions of other people, a longtime fan of Dale Evans.
I sure am. I have always loved country music when nobody else did.
Now, your particular case, for those who are unfamiliar with what you do and what your success story in the business world is concerned, is that a group of people got together and wrote a book, a very adult book, and they picked a name, Penelope Ash, who was going to be the spokesperson, and you are it, but it is a book that could be described as pornography. Do you describe it as pornography?
No, I couldn't possibly, and I'll tell you why. The book came out in 1969. There's been such a sexual revolution in America since 1969, where young people now live together. In 69, it was a sin. Today, it's accepted. Today, Mrs. Ford can get on the air, hold a press conference, talk about her daughter, which, incidentally, I applaud, because I think it's beautiful. I think that sex has been in the closet for so long, and that when a president's wife finally has the courage to talk out for it, that's beautiful. And the book was really never pornographic. It was just a departure from sexual themes in 1969.
Did you actively take part in the writing of the book?
No, I am a writer, and I used to be a reporter. I worked for Kohl's, the people who had Look magazine. And I'm an investigative reporter, really. But I didn't write the book at all. All I did was promote it. And I guess I did a pretty good job. We sold about 7 million copies.
Now, Dale, let me ask your response, because we can get a three-way discussion going here. Penelope applauded the statements made last Sunday night on 60 Minutes by the First Lady. What was your reaction to some of the things she had to say, not only in the area of sex, but drugs and a number of other things?
Disappointment.
Why?
Because I think as First Lady of the land, now we know that sex is here and here to stay. I mean, after all, God made a man, he made a woman. But on the other hand, there are some things that are private or should be private. And I think sex is one of them. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a discussion about it and that young people shouldn't be instructed. But with the right, I'll tell you exactly how I feel about it. With a rising rate in crime in this country, the rising rate of suicides among young people in this country, I believe that it's a disservice for the First Lady to take the position that she took. And I believe it for this reason. We have a bunch of young people, of children today that are being neglected, abandoned, And when you speak of just simply living together without benefit of the clergy or the courts, it's very, very easy to discharge your responsibility if your living arrangement is dissatisfying to you, to simply say, I'm going to split. Then what happens to the child? A child needs a mother and a child needs a father. And I think that her direct, not direct either, she sort of left the door open in a sense. And if you will notice in the subsequent articles that have appeared, she sort of softened what she said by saying that she believed that marriage was probably the greatest thing in the world. And it will be interesting to see Mrs. Ford's reaction should Susan do exactly what she said,
okay,
that she would not be surprised
right
at.
Okay, Dale, I adore you professionally.
You're honest, and I am too.
Right.
We've got to be honest.
But I have to tell you now where I digress with you as far as how our thoughts now are aligned about this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you bring in crime, you bring in suicide. Mm-hmm. I can't see where crime or suicide have anything at all to do with sex. That's number one. Number two, the church, which has always been so down on sex, mm-hmm, the church, which has always been so vocal, putting sex down, has been so beautiful in this situation. I could not believe my ears when I heard that the Catholic Church came up with a statement after Mrs. Ford had made her remarks, saying that she must be an outstanding mother and have such a great rapport with her daughter that she could speak this way. And I had such respect. I felt so great that the church really came out with this. And I'll tell you why I felt this way.
Let me ask, would you tell me the source of that?
Who said that?
Certainly. That was on the Newswire, AP-UPI.
Uh-huh.
Now, I just want to say one other thing. We go to school. We mm-hmm learn arithmetic, reading, writing. Mm-hmm. We learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody teaches us about sex.
Oh, and yes, they do
kids,
now.
No, and that's not right. These kids grow up. They practice their sex, and they find out they have a rotten marriage because sexually they're not mm-hmm compatible, and therefore living together can't be such a bad arrangement.
I'm not arguing with you about that, that they should not know about sex. I think they should.
But
I think they should be told.
By whom?
I think they should be told first by their parents. And
good,
they should be told in a very decent way and not in a lewd way and not in a straight clinical way.
Do you believe in sex education in the school?
Well, I believe in it to a certain extent, if the people who teach it are carefully screened.
In what manner?
Their attitude toward it. If it's purely biological, no.
I want to ask a question of Penelope. Now, Dale brought up the point about irresponsibility, and earlier in the program, before you arrived, we were talking about the irresponsibility of Hollywood. Is it not an irresponsible trait, whether it be Hollywood, whether it be a writer who has written a book, dealing with lifestyle, to create an image that everybody is doing it, specifically what you're talking
about?
That
doesn't make it right.
Does that make it right, and is there a responsibility of someone who is in a responsible position?
Okay,
should they react in a way of reporting or promoting?
All right, let me see if I can put it this way, Bruce. Over 2,000 years ago, Cicero said that you cannot change the inherent nature of men. And when I say men, I mean women, homo sapiens. We are sexual people.
Mm-hmm.
And although the church has taught us for many, many years that sex is for procreation and not for recreation, now it's time that this ends.
No, but Cicero said it 2,000 years ago before radio, television, and the motion pictures. And what I'm saying is that radio, television, and the motion pictures, are they not in a position of leading and promoting and changing life as opposed to reporting on it? They are no longer a reactive a medium. They are a leading medium. They create, I'm not saying that they create problems, but I'm talking about they create lifestyles and the way people respond to problems.
All right. We have X-rated movies.
Right.
We have restricted movies. And we have parents that give their kids money to go to see a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a child is 18, mm-hmm, he's no longer a child. He's old enough to fight in Vietnam. He's old enough to lose his life for his government. Is he not old
yes
enough to see a film. That's sexually explicit.
Where do you draw the line? Well, I'll disagree with that, because there's only one reason why he's old enough to fight in Vietnam. That's because his body is old enough to fight. That doesn't mean that his mind is old enough to
fight. But if his body is old enough to fight, don't you think that sexually his body is mature, Bruce?
Oh, there's no question about that. His body can do the job. But the responsibility doesn't come with one's body. It comes with one's mind. And I'm saying, you know, the old argument that an 18-year-old is, if he's old enough to give his life in Vietnam, he's old enough to vote. That was the argument given a couple of years ago.
And it was
that isn't necessarily the case either.
All right. Let me see.
Because
as
you look at the people that go out and vote, that's the smallest voting group around, the people that are 18 years old.
All right.
They really don't care. They're involved in others. I want your answer, and I'm going to give you more time. But right now we have more commercials, okay? We'll be back. Bruce Dumont back on the air with our guest Dale Evans and Penelope Ash. And Dale, you were making some comments during the break, so why don't we pick up with your comments?
No, let her.
Okay,
let her.
Penelope, you wanted to respond to my question about the responsibility
you
of the media.
She was cut off.
Right. It's a very known sociological fact that young people mature sexually earlier today than they did 100 years ago, than they did 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many explanations for this. Better food, more vitamins.
Yes.
Climate changes.
We're talking physically
world.
Now.
Physically.
Okay.
Now, if young people mature on the average of 5 to 7 years earlier sexually than their ancestors, for instance, let me see, women, older women, 50 years ago, they were menopausal at a much earlier time.
Yes.
Today, they're menopausal at a much later time.
That's true.
Their beginning menses start now much earlier than they did 15 and 20 years ago and 30 years ago. And it follows that sexually their development is an earlier kind of thing. Now, if this is so, what do you do with these kids? Do you tie them up and put them in handcuffs and say, you know, here you are, we're going to lock you up, you can't go out? Do you teach them about sex? And I, incidentally, am against teaching sex in the schools. And that may sound very odd, but I must tell you what my reasons are for not wanting sex taught. I'm not uptight about sex. My mother was an artist. My mother painted nudes. She always had a nude model. It was not anything that was anything important.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was something like you wore a green dress. Now, because I'm not uptight and I have six children, I would be mortified. I would feel that I had not done my duty to my children. If they went to school, had some old maid school teacher who was uptight about sex, who did have all the sexual guilt that, thank God, I don't have and that my children don't have, and said, well, here you are. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's so-and-so, and this is how it's done. Therefore, I want to be the one that instructs them. And I feel that it's not the job of the church or the school to tell the children about sex.
I think it's the job of the parents at home.
Absolutely.
I think that, too. I wasn't taught because it just simply was taboo, you know? And I was sorry. But on the other hand,
but that was a generation decision.
That's true.
Everyone in your generation.
That is true.
Everyone probably in our generation.
There's another point here. Let's get back to Mrs. Ford when she said possibly there would be fewer divorces if young people were permitted to live together before marriage.
True.
Well, they've been doing it for a long time now, and it's now the divorce rate is it's 1 out of 4.
Dale, but how long have they been doing it? When they lived together before, they didn't share the same premises. They may have done this, but it was done surreptitiously.
Then why do you think the divorce rate is so high now?
Because people are not educated on marriage. People go into marriage and they go in selfishly. The girl goes in, well, I'll get married. It's easier than working. Why should I get a job? I'll find a husband, preferably a rich one. The guy goes in and he feels, well, I need a certain amount of sex. My body requires this. I might as well have a wife. She can do my laundry. She can keep the house clean. And I can have my needs satisfied physically.
Yes, but you know,
you think that's why people get married?
I think that's why they used to get married. Oh, certainly. Oh.
But
look how many girls get married rather than stay home in an unhappy home situation.
Well, I'm really not quarreling about that, but the point is that there is something in life besides sex.
What?
Well, I mean, you and I are obviously at different ends of the pole, and I'm not a prude, but the difference between your feeling about it and mine is on a spiritual plane, and mine is because of what the Bible says about it.
What does the Bible say, dear?
Well, the Bible says about, it calls fornication. Now, we're on the air and we're talking, but I have to talk straight the way I believe. And in I was always taught that that meant, that was before marriage. Sex was reserved for marriage, not for single people.
You know,
and you know. Well, I'm just saying what the Bible says.
Okay, now let's follow the Bible, Dale.
All right.
Can we follow the Bible? But first, we have to follow some commercials, and then
surely.
We'll be back with the Bible.
Look to the builders of happiness. Look to tomorrow, today. To the folks at Skokie Federal, building happiness in a saving way. Look to the builders of happiness. Look to tomorrow, today.
Skokie Federal builds happiness faster with day-in, day-out interest on all passbook savings. Top interest, 5.25% yearly, compounded daily. From the day deposited to the day withdrawn. You never lose interest saving with Skokie Federal. 4747 Dempster and Lincoln at Oakton.
Look to the builders of happiness. Look to Skokie Federal today.
When everything in life seems to be getting more and more difficult, it's nice to know there's one way to make your life easier. Choose one insurance agent to take care of all your insurance needs. Then, when you have a question or a problem involving your insurance, you will know who can handle it for you and you won't have to worry. I'm Mary Lawton to let you know that High on Hile wants to be your one insurance agent. We represent INA, Aetna, USF&G, and many other major companies specializing in insurance for your car, home or apartment, jewelry and furs, your life, and even your airplane. Let us coordinate your various insurance policies by looking at your insurance needs as a whole to be sure that you have the right kinds of insurance protection in the right amounts with no duplications or gaps in coverage. Add to that our pledge of outstanding personal service, and you'll know why it's important to have just one insurance agent. Make your life easier. Call Heil & Heil today, 866-7400. Heil & Heil Insurance, 866-7400.
Bruce Dumont back at the Allerton. Our guest, Dale Evans, the Queen of the Cowgirls, who is in town for a Jesus rally tonight at 7:30 at Airy Crown. Our other guest is Penelope Ash. She is in town promoting an X-rated film called Naked Cain the Stranger, based on the best-selling book of the same name. It's opened at the Cinestage Theater at Dearborn and Lake. So, and as Dale said during the commercial break, that's why people have salt and pepper on the table, because with those two promotional announcements, everybody in our audience is going to go someplace, and you're either going to go to the Cinestage or you're going to Airy Crown. So,
hey, come to the Jesus people.
Okay. Now, you were making a comment, Penelope, before we had to break.
Right. I wanted to refute something that Dale had said. She was talking about the Bible and what the Bible said, quote, about fornication.
Yeah.
And believe me, I have great respect.
Well, that's in the New Testament. That's in the New Testament.
I have great respect for both the New and the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I have great respect for the Scriptures. And
yes.
What I am about to say in no way demeans them.
Yes.
But I like to think that I am a feminist by day and a female by night.
Uh-huh.
And it happened that last week I happened to be reading the Bible, and I was reading Genesis.
Yes.
And I realized how women are put down in the Bible, which was written by men, how women are demeaned in the Bible. Men can have as many sexual experiences as they desire, but the woman, quote, may not be defiled. If a woman is barren and cannot conceive, in the Bible, in Genesis,
yes,
again.
I agree. That's there.
That's fine. So Sarah says, you know, take my maid.
I know it.
And this to me, now what makes this right? How is it that a man can have myriad sexual experiences, can do whatever he wants in the bedroom, can satisfy himself physically in any way possible, and he is a playboy. He's lovely.
Yes.
But a woman who dares, who dares to do the same thing.
Yes.
A woman who dares to admit that she enjoys sex and has more than one partner is considered unfit for human company.
Have you ever considered that possibly because the woman was the bearer of the children?
They're both bearers, because a woman needs...
No. She doesn't carry the man doesn't carry the child. The woman does, in her body.
Right, but she cannot conceive without a consort.
That's right. That's true. Have you ever considered that... why is it that God made man first?
I think he was lucky, I guess.
Huh?
He was just lucky, I guess.
You mean man?
Certainly.
I don't think it was any accident. I don't think it was any luck about it. And he made woman to be, as the Bible says, a helpmeet for man. Now, I believe that woman is to complete the man, not defeat him. I think that's not to say she isn't equal, because I think woman is equal to the man in God's sight.
Right, but maybe in God's sight.
No.
But God did not write the Bible. Men wrote the Bible.
Yes, but I believe they were inspired by God. I believe they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to write the scriptures. Why is it that down through the ages, with all the different translations, it still remains the same? The content is the same. There is no difference, really, in the meaning of the important issues in the
Bible.
But
there are changes between the New Testament and the Old Testament.
No, there really aren't changes.
I believe that there are. And I also believe that there is a time coming when there will be a woman's Bible written, where a woman no longer will be demeaned in the Scriptures. Now, I happen to be president of a publishing company in New York.
Yes.
Ashley Books in Port Washington, New York. And we are publishing a book very shortly called
The
Female...
Are you going to call God She?
No. The Female Pentecost. It's written by Lucia Sinella.
Mm-hmm.
And this lets Eve and Delilah and all of the women, mm-hmm. Mary, in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
tell their story about how the men wrote it, and that there should be no segregation in God's kingdom.
I don't think there is.
There should be no way that a woman is put down in the Bible. And it's going to be a tremendously controversial and interesting and best-selling book.
Okay. Let me ask another question following up on that. If a man comes around promoting an X-rated movie, there's no big deal about it. But if a woman comes around promoting an X-rated movie, not only is there a better chance that she will be on a program like this, but she's also promoted more. There was more promotion for you than there would be for someone else. Why is that? Why are you promoting the film?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask me that, Bruce. I'm promoting the book because I believe that censorship is next to fascism, that the worst thing that a free country could have is have censorship. Now, when the Supreme Court came out 3 years ago with their edict that it was against the law for sexually explicit material to be shown or read, this was a violation of our basic freedom as Americans. Now, when there was flak given to the Supreme Court and they were chastised by so many intellectuals for doing this and for passing this law, they got off the hook very easily. They said, well, now we're going to turn it over to the individual states, and if Illinois wants to prosecute, you know, fine. If New York wants to, fine. But we're no longer responsible. As a responsible American, I want everybody to have access to materials. If it doesn't turn you on, don't go see the movie. Don't buy anything that might be considered graphic sex or explicit sex, but you should have the right to do it. And, for instance, in Copenhagen, sex crime...
Everything? You should have a right to do everything?
You should have a right to do anything if you are an adult that does not harm anybody else. This is a victimless act.
You don't do anything of yourself.
If we have an incident of rape that is so horrendous in this country, yet in Copenhagen, where sexual shows are legal, where sexually explicit material is available, their incidence of rape is almost non-existent. In England, do you know how many rapes they have in a year in the whole country of England? Perhaps 40. We have 40 in a half hour.
Right.
How do they deal with rape in England? What do they do with the rapists?
Well, firstly, they're not censored the way we are. The BBC, although it's owned by the government.
I didn't say that. What is the penalty for rape?
That's there isn't. Do you see, people can go out to places.
There isn't a penalty for rape in England?
No.
In England?
They go to jail. They go to court. But there's a difference.
Do they stay in jail?
Do you know a show in New York, for instance,
like
My People?
Me.
Do they stay in jail?
Do they stay in jail?
Much longer than they do in America.
Well,
if you went out and raped, Dale,
doesn't that answer anything for you?
Yeah, Dale, you can get out in 2 months and go back and do it again, you know.
Well, here you don't even have to go to jail a lot of times.
No, of course not.
Mm. Well, so?
But what I'm saying is that they don't even have an instance where people have that many crimes, where they're performing those many crimes. Why don't they have it? Because sex is open and above board. Something that is readily available is not forbidden fruit. And when it is not forbidden fruit, nobody thinks about it as being important.
Ladies, on that note, we're out of time for today, but I do want to thank you very much for stopping by. Penelope Ash, who is in town to promote Naked Cain the Stranger, currently appearing at the Cinestage Theater. It is an X-rated film. And Dale Evans, the Queen of the Cowgirls, who is in town, one of the most popular women in all the world, most well-known women in all the world, who is in town to promote the Jesus Rally tonight at 7:30 at Erie Crown. And ladies, thank you very much. I have to make a couple of comments here at the end of the program.
Thank you,
Bruce. And this is our closing program in the series from the Allerton Hotel. And for the last 13 weeks, we've had an opportunity to be with you on the Montage Radio Network originating from the Allerton. And today is our last program. However, we will be continuing next Monday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from 2 to 3. We will be on WXFM Radio. That's 106 on the FM dial. We will continue the program with guests, with telephone calls. On Monday's program, we're going to be talking specifically about the Charles Manson case, the tragic Tate LaBianca murders a couple of years ago. So that will be our topic of discussion on
there
Monday's program. I do want to thank you very much, however, for being with us for the last 13 weeks, the folks here at the Allerton Hotel, Al Meltzer and Jack Evans and Fred Malone and Cora and Jerry the bartender and everyone else. We thank you very much for your courtesy the last 13 weeks, and we thank you very much for being with us in Radio Land. And for those along the network line, this is the last time we say goodbye to you on this particular station, but we will see you Monday at 2 o'clock on WXFM Radio. So long, everybody.